Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. We're going to start off real quick on this chapter, but I'm probably going to continue to back into it. There it is.
Close your heart.
We're going to continue to, we'll probably back into it a little bit more down the road, but we're going to go kind of fast today because there are several things I'd like to look at and cover in this chapter. First off, when we back up to chapters 2, I'm going to begin reading in verse 14. It says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Last week we kind of looked at more than a conqueror. When we saw how Jesus Christ came as this conqueror, and you can find these words that he broke down a wall and he abolished in his flesh, and how this one new man came in and slew the enemy, enmity. You find that in 16. "And came and preached peace to you who were far and to them that were nigh. For through him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the building..." "How all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." Now, in 3 verses 1, we find what Paul's got an important statement he makes. He said, "For this cause, we have that sign up here oftentimes. It says, is there not a cause?" And Paul said, for this cause, "I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." And what is the cause? We just read it. His cause was to go out and work on a building. I used to like his song, I'm working on a building for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord. It says, "In whom the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord." And everyone that's brought to Christ is a block. He's a stone. As Jesus said in the Cephas, he told him, "You're a stone." Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. Amen. He said, and we are made a temple in Christ. One temple, not many temples, one temple. And in this temple, it dwelleth, and this is what God desires, a place. He wants to live in us. He wants to enjoy that same fellowship with us as with his Son and with the Holy Spirit. And within Jesus, the Bible said, dwelt all of the Godhead bodily. So when we are in Christ, when us dwells all of the Godhead bodily. You see, we're one new man. We're one body. We're one temple. Hey, we're many blocks. We're many members. But we are one in Christ. And in us dwelleth all. Hey, all of God lives in Brother Jim, all of God lives in Brother Rick, all of God lives in Brother Ed, all of God, hey, all of God lives in each one of us individually that are saved. Not part of God. All of God lives in each. Now, that's a miracle. Well, I tell you what, man, that'll make a backslid Baptist run and shout, amen? Boy, it's hard to get them to move on anything nowadays. But praise God, hey, all of God lives in the believer. That's exciting to me. And you were built together for the habitation of God. And Paul said, this is the cause that I'm a prisoner for Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Why? Because he wants the Gentiles to believe and be built into this temple. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know when the temple will be complete. I don't know what all God has got yet to do in the build. But one thing about it, I do know. He wants us to be like Paul. To have a cause. We find in the book of Romans, chapter 1, that we've been given that same apostleship that was given to Paul. We have been sent. To do what? I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. Hallelujah. Amen. Working on a building for my Lord.
Yes.
And it's not something, you know, it's not a physical building. It's a spiritual building. And the Holy Spirit builds it through us. But we're to be yielded to Him. Hey, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God was given to me, you word, how that by revelation He has made known unto me the mystery which I wrote afore in few words. Hey, this is the cause. Ephesians 3:1. The cause is to build a building. And this is, now notice this. And notice this that Apostle Paul then says, because of this cause. Because of this cause, what it has done to him. He's been made a prisoner, first off. And then, because of this cause, you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which has given me to you word. Hey, because of this cause, we have been given this grace of God through the Apostle Paul, which is given to us, to you, to those, it is all about us. Paul said, and for this cause, hey, I'm a prisoner of Christ, to what? To preach the gospel of the grace of God to the Gentiles.
Amen.
This is why he's a prisoner. The cause is he's working on a building. And this is how he's working on a building. He's been sent forth. And for this cause, Paul is a prisoner of Christ to preach the gospel of the grace of God to us Gentiles. That's what we find right here. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God was given me to you, word, and how that by revelation he hath made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words. Now, and for this cause, he's a prisoner to do what? To reveal the mysteries of Christ that are found in Paul's gospel. He's preaching that gospel of grace to us, and he wants us. He's preaching the mysteries of Christ. These things have been shut up. The Jews didn't know anything about it.
Right.
Hey, the angels didn't know anything about it. They desired to look into these things. But they were hidden. They were shut up. The 12 apostles didn't know these things. It was shut up to them. It was not given to Peter. It wasn't given to James and John. You know, it wasn't given to the 12 apostles. But now, in these days, he's revealed these things to the church. The mystery of the church. The body of Christ. The temple of the living God. Jews, he's promised a nation. But he has promised us Gentiles a church. Be a body. To be a body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this. And he said, for this call, Paul was a prisoner of Christ to preach the gospel of the grace to God and to reveal the mysteries of Christ found in Paul's gospel. See, it was a mystery that Gentiles was going to be saved. Jews didn't know a thing about it. They didn't have nothing to do with it. We were dogs and hogs. We were not a people. I mean, we went no better than a dog or a hog. We were not the people of God. And yeah, I tell you, wherever you found that term, people, that's talking about the nation of Israel. But now, we have received the same promises that has been promised unto Israel, but through and in Jesus Christ, in His body, one new man, in that temple that God lives in.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. I'm going to tell you what, that's some good stuff, boy.
Amen.
Huh? That, like Brother Rick said, that's a hot biscuit raked through some honey there. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, man, throw a little butter in between there, too, boy. That's good. Mash it all up. You ever do that, brother? Mash it all up in the honey?
Yes.
Get some butter and a hot biscuit. That's good stuff, amen. This is good stuff. This is sweeter than the honeycomb, amen. This is something to enjoy. This is something to suck up to and enjoy it. Taste, see that the Lord is good,
amen.
He's been good to His people. He's been good to us. Dogs and hogs, amen. Ooh, amen. We was eating slop, praise God. Now, fresh bread. Amen. All the time. Huh? Wow. Honey. Man, and milk. You know, good fresh milk. Boy, that's something I miss is good milk. Everything tastes like sugar now, Brother Rick. They just fill it full of sugar. You can't even find, I don't even drink cow's milk anymore because it's just full of sugar. I have to drink that old almond milk and stuff like that. I've come to like that. I drink it about a half a gallon. About every 5 days, I drink a half a gallon of that. But I can't, praise God. I mean, that's milk and honey. This is good stuff. This is strength to your bones if you just let it settle in and just really understand what God is saying to us there. To reveal the mysteries of Christ found in Paul's gospel. The mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. The mystery of the church. Amen. The mystery of blindness in part have come into Israel. Why? Because He found all in unbelief that He might have mercy upon all. Amen. He said, them Jews are unbelievers, just like the Gentiles. He said, now I'm going to show the same grace to everyone. To whosoever will, let him come. Praise God. They were cut off, but we were grafted in. Except for that remnant. They could come just like anybody else. When they hear the words of truth, boy, it speaks to our hearts. Praise God for that. And that, notice this. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. What? And so he's preaching that for this call that we might know these things. He preaches this mystery of the riches found in this grace given to the church. Look at that 8 through 13. And to me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He said, get out there and search all you want to. You ain't going to find no end. It's deeper than the oceans and wider than the sky. Amen. But if you can look up and see the heavens stretched out without end, that's what His riches are. Boy, we ain't even, me and Brother John was talking this morning, we ain't even scratched the surface of this Bible. I don't know how many times, I'm not saying it's be both friends. I can't remember all the times I've read this Bible through. And you know what I found out? I don't know nothing. And every time I read it, new stuff just keeps popping up. And things I thought I knew, I said, well, you know, I was dumb, boy. I said, that's wrong. I was wrong. I thought this, and I was wrong. I said, now I'm not sure what I know. So God just teach me. But he'll give you knowledge for each and every day. Glad we got the Holy Spirit. Amen. He'll teach us all things. He'll teach us what we need for the hour that we need it. He's a light into our path. You realize that? Huh? He doesn't get out there and show you the end from the beginning. He shows you one step at a time. You know, that's why Jesus, even though Jesus knew what his end was and why he came, he still took one step at a time. He didn't know exactly. He was led of the Spirit. He was drove. Hey, you remember he come up there and he got baptized and come up out of water? He didn't know where he was going, but the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Sometimes God might drive us out of the wilderness. Huh? You ever notice that Exodus has 40 chapters? Ain't that interesting? That's interesting. How many years did they wander out there?
40 days and 40 nights.
Yeah, 40 years. They wandered in the wilderness. That's an interesting thing about 40 there.
Yes.
They didn't know where they was going either. And Moses didn't have a clue. But guess who led the way? It was a light by night. Amen. And a cloud, a pillar of a cloud by day. And it guided all the way. And that's the way it is in our lives. Hey, he reveals mysteries to us as we need them. And we were talking about this. He says, and it amazes me, you read over in 1 John, he said, and you know all things. I said, what do you mean, God, I know all things? He said, you know me, don't you? You know me, don't you? The Holy Spirit who lives in us will teach you all things. You're one body. One you reckon Jesus knows all things? We're one body. We're one new man. And God, his Father, lives in him and lives in us. And in him, we know all things. Not in his brain. Not in this brain here, not in this body do I know all things, but in the Spirit we know all things. That's the reason why we need to learn to wait on God on some things. Instead of not plunging forward, listening to what this old thing up here tells you today. Too much stuff happening in churches today. That's what's governing them is their own understanding. The Bible says, lean not to your own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Amen. Why? Because in him you know all things. You know the ways that I should go. We all know the way that we should go. Amen? And when you have doubt, stand still. God, is this what you want? Ask him.
Yes, sir.
And if he don't talk, just keep on doing what you was doing. The things that you know to do. What things? Be a witness. Read your Bible. Pray. Seek his face. I mean, just hunker down. Grab a hold of the horn of the altar. And say, God, I will not let go till you show me. And bless me. Direct me, O God. Don't let me go. Don't let me go in this. Don't let me walk in my own understanding. Notice he says, unto me who was less than the least of the saints of this grace given, I should preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery from the beginning of the world has been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ, and to this intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. You know all the principalities and powers? Huh? He said that you might know principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. You know what that takes? That takes discernment.
Amen.
You'll go out here sometimes, Brother Rick, and you'll run up against a stump on something. Mm-hmm. And it's a principality and it's a power. Mm-hmm. Why do you think? You know, I felt such a need to talk about this thing about warfare. Because there are principalities and powers that God uses to strengthen us, and He wants us to learn and grow. And when we had His saying back when I was young and involved in sports, is no pain, no gain.
Amen.
And in this world with Christ, no pain. Walking with Christ, no pain, no gain. It's giving us to suffer for His sake. And it's the only way you're going to learn some of these things. Paul said, it is given you not only to believe on His name, but to suffer for His sake. And Paul said this, that I may know Him. The power of His resurrection, then he goes on and says, the only way you can know that power is through the fellowship of His suffering. And you're going to run up against the thing, and God said right here, I've come to preach in you to get you to understand how you can know a principalities and powers, the ones that, and these are all God's. They're all God's. It's not God and the devil, it's all God's. It all belongs to our Father. The devil belongs to Him. Mm-hmm. Nod your little head up and down.
Come on.
Amen. Huh?
Amen.
He belongs to Him. God created him. He is His. He's His servant.
Yes, sir.
He works God's will. He don't even know it.
Yeah.
I mean, just read Job. You'll find out. Huh?
Lay his hand on him. He told Job.
Yeah.
Huh? Remember to bow. Feel this principality, this power. What chance you got against him? Huh? What chance you got? Hey, we're going to have a beat the devil Sunday next week.
Come on.
If you do, I ain't coming. I don't want to be around that. I leave him up to God.
Amen.
I'm not going to speak evil of him either. I let God deal with him. He's a principality and a power. And the church needs to know these principalities. And he said, that's what I've come. I've come, I'm going to preach to you these mysteries that you might know these things. And not be superstitious about it. You know, a lot of people just downright superstitious about church. And the devil and things.
Yes, sir.
And fearful and afraid. You ain't got to be afraid of Satan, of the devil. Fear God.
Amen.
Fear God. Don't fear the devil. Man, when the devil comes around and says, oh, God sent you around, huh? Got something He wants you to do in my life. Some little imp, I know the big devil, he don't even know who David Leslie is. But he sends around his little imps, you know, to make my life a little bit miserable every now and then. And I know it's by God's permission for my good and to the glory of God.
Amen.
So we need to learn these lessons, understand these principalities, that they're working for our good and to the glory of God. He said right here to the church, hey, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. That's talking about the stars in the heavens. You know? The celestial. And in this celestial, hey, they are the angels that followed, not angels, but the heavenly host that followed after Lucifer. There's also the heavenly host that stands with God. Two-thirds of them stood with God. And we need to know the difference. We need to know a right spirit from a wrong spirit. And you can know that through the Word of God. That gives us understanding. You can know that through the Spirit of God. And if you don't think that there are principalities out there coming against you, you're in a dangerous place. If you're doing anything for God at all, you are going to be attacked by the will of God to strengthen us. For you are to be a soldier. You're in a war. This is a battlefield, brother. It's not a recreation ring. Huh? It's a bloody war. It's not a game. And Paul said, and for this cause, hey, Jesus showed us how those principalities came against him. They nailed him to the cross, trying to defeat him. Huh?
Yes, sir.
The devil's saying, come down off the cross. Come down here and let us kill you down here. We don't want you dying up there. Come down. Try to get him off that cross. He knew who they were. You don't think he wanted to come off the cross? You don't? No. I shouldn't have said that. He didn't want to come off the cross. He wanted to do those things that pleased the Father. He was staying there for his Father. Now, his body wanted to come off. He was suffering things it didn't want to suffer. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to suffer some things you don't want to suffer. You know how you're going to make it through? Listen to your Heavenly Father. No, when you're suffering for doing right, when they mock you, I got mocked this past week. Over something. I just, you know what I had to do? I had to back off, go west. I'm going to have to go fast a little bit, get away. Just pray. I ain't going to let this change me. I'm not going to let this pull me down. I'm not going to, I want to be what God wants me to be in it. And you're going to face some of these things. Yeah. Notice this. He come and preach that it might be revealed to the church a manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Notice this. By the faith of him. Not by your faith. By the faith of him. He said, what about our faith? Our faith will, your faith will do the work that God wants us to do.
Amen.
But it's God, it's the faith of Jesus Christ that holds us to the faith that God has given us to do that work. Brother Rick, if it was your faith holding you into the work of the Rock of Ages, how long do you think you would have been there? Yeah. If it was our faith that has held us in church over these years, how long would we have made it? We'd have been busted up against the rocks a long time ago. But it's the faith of the Son of God which binds us to himself and makes us one body and one temple. For we are his workmanship.
of these days, he's going to present us faultless and spotless to his Father. Notice this, and again, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations. Notice this. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Take that in. Let that settle. Let that sink in your head. What did he just say? He said, I'm having troubles and problems. And he told those Ephesians, that is your glory. You want God to be glorified in people? Get out there and suffer some things for Christ. For them. Do without some things for them. Give out some food for a while. Fast and pray for them. For this is your glory. Nobody know what he's saying there? This is how by what I am suffering shows your importance to God and what God sees in you. And this is your glory. There's a glory. You know what I mean? There's a glory of the sun and the moon, and you have a glory too. Paul said these things, this cause, the fact that I'm a prisoner, that I'm preaching this gospel to you, that I am in prison and beaten and all the things that falls out to me, this is to your glory. It shows your worth, your value. It's your glory. That I suffer these things for you. Notice this, and for this cause. What cause? Again, it goes back. Hey, right here, what did we just read? Therefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, for this is your glory, and for this cause. What? That God's glory might be manifested to them and in them. I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He said, I bow my knees and I pray that God will, you will understand, hey, these principalities and powers that come against his church, and then that you would be strengthened with his might, his riches, the riches of his might by his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love. And that's an important word right there. In love. For God is love. May be able to comprehend. Because notice this. Right after, he says, you might dwell in love. Now notice what he says right after that. He's giving some more of that revelation. He's revealing some things. That you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. With all saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. He says there in that verse, he said, I want you to know something that is beyond your being able to know. The unsearchable riches of his love. You can't search it out and find it. But you know it in the Spirit. He knows his great love. God the Father knows his great... Hey, he loved you enough he gave his own son. He punished him for what we did wrong. Did I give you a little bit of a clue of the kind of love? How great that love is, how powerful that love is, that he would give his own son. I'm going to tell you something. We know that, but then that love is see is the whipping, the plucking of the beard, and the spitting, and the smoting, and the cat of nine tails, and the dragging across, and the nails, and the struggling for the breath, and the thirst, and the mockings. We know about that. The boy, when God put his hand up there and covered it in darkness, he said it pleased God to bruise him. And God, his own Father, took our sorry, good-for-nothing lives and put them upon his Son. All of our wickedness and filth, and placed it upon his Son, and then punished him. Made his soul, not his body, his soul an offering for Son. And it pleased God to bruise that soul. That's how much God loves you. Do that for God? What will we do for God in return? We say we love him because he first loved us. Examine ourselves. How do we love him? Taking that into account, we see that we might know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, and you may be filled. Lord, look at it. Filled. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What is that? I don't know, but I want to. What will that do? I don't know, but I want to know. Filled with all the fullness of God. Strengthened with his might, comprehending this love of God which is beyond comprehension, filled with all the fullness of God. And right there, that word means all. It don't always mean all, but right there, it means all of God. All the fullness of God. And unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And he'll be glory in the church. I say let it be done today. I say let it run out, overflow. Let God be glorified in us today. Let God be glorified in you today. I mean, just really take that in, what we've been talking about. Think about that love. Think about what God has done. Think about, and let it just fill you up. Man, we need to be cups that are overflowing. What's that song? Children sing. Huh?
Fill my cup, Lord.
Oh, no, the other one. Oh, gosh. I can't think of a name of it now. Oh, when my cup runneth over with joy. Amen. Let your cup run over today. Let it spill on your neighbor. Say, God, fill me up. Run it over. Amen.
Yes,
spill it out. Splash over on my neighbor over there. Fill him up. I mean, put some excitement, dear God, in this place today. Help us. Help us to really consider all that you have done for us. And unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Ain't you glad of that? That church that God has built is without end. I come to know about Jesus Christ in 1984. I knew that day that God had saved me. I didn't understand a whole lot right then.
But I knew that God had did something in me, and nothing has been the same since then. I read in the Bible where Jesus Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. He paid for my debt. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's the same at all times. A world without end. And we've been placed into a church that was, that thing was hid from the beginning till when Christ died on the cross, and it still hasn't fully been revealed. We got a tribulation time that this world is going to go through, and God is painting that picture of one of these days.